In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brethren, when we look at the life of the saints, we are astonished by the richness and variety that we find. Each one of them is a saint. It means someone who knew how to please the Lord. However, we can clearly see that each one of them was sanctified in a different way. There are not two saints who are just the same, but each one has his own sanctity, we could say. This almost infinite variety that we find among the saints have to do, first of all, with their own nature. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that grace does not destroy nature, but elevates it. And this general affirmation is also true for each individual being. Grace is not there to suppress our nature, to destroy who we are. But grace comes to sanctify us with our talents, our struggles, our own personality. So the Holy Ghost, who is also the author of nature, comes to us in his amazing work of sanctification, not destroying, but reforming what we are. And if we allow him to work, what he will do is to help us to fight against our temptations and to use our talents for the glory of God, so that we may be what God wants us to be, not someone else, but us. We are to be ourselves, but the sanctified, the restored version of ourselves. A good example of this would be if someone had a good sense of humor. The pursuit of holiness. Holiness would not require that this natural capacity would be suppressed, but that this capacity would be purified from anything that could be offensive to God. We know that many saints had a very strong sense of humor. And a good example of this is Saint Philip Neri. He was always making jokes. However, his jokes were never sinful, they were never inappropriate. And this is what makes all the difference. He would use his humor to try to bring some joy to people. And by doing so, he turned a simple and indifferent natural capacity into something virtuous. So grace elevated his nature. So nature is the first factor of differentiation among the saints. We are all different from each other, with different talents, different struggles, different personalities. And it makes that grace works in each one of us in a different way. But another fact of differentiation Among the saints is the vocation that each one received from God. We know that each state in life implies specific obligations. A priest has obligations which differ from the obligations of a married man. And a married man has obligations which differ from the obligations of a priest. It would be strange, for example, if a married woman would live like a nun, or if a nun would live like a lay woman. The life of a holy king is different from the life of a holy monk. The life of St. Louis IX was different from the life of St. Benedict. And that's normal. Each one of us is called to holiness, but each one according to his own state in life. Holiness is not about having ecstasies or receiving messages from heaven. But holiness consists in doing the will of God in our lives. And our state in life tells a lot about what God wants from each one of us. In this way, we can say that holiness is in the accomplishment of the duties that our vocation requires from us, for the love of God and for the love of our neighbor. So this is another factor of differentiation among the saints. The vocation of each one, their own state in life, which makes the sanctity of one to be different from the sanctity of another. But there is something else which makes each saint a unique work of art. And the third factor of differentiation is the providential role that God has assigned to each one of the saints. And in order to understand the providential role of the saints, we have to investigate history a little bit. We needed to know in which place and time they were. We needed to try to discover which problems the church and the society had to face, and how God used his saints in order to change the course of history and bring remedy to the problems of that place and of that time. And this role becomes more visible when we look at the lives of the great saints of the church. They were men and women who shaped history. And it is here that I wanted to talk about the great saint of today, St. Francis de Sales, and his providential role in the history of the church. St. Francis de Sales was born in 1567 in the Duchy of Savoy, today part of France. After studying philosophy and theology, he became a priest in 1593 and was consecrated a bishop 9 years later. At that time in history, the true faith was facing many challenges from outside, from the part of the movement of the false reformers of the 15th century, especially the followers of Luther and Calvin. And St. Francis de Sales had a providential role in what we call the Catholic Counter-Reformation, fighting the heresies of the time. He wrote a book called The Catholic Controversy, in which he exposes the errors of the heretics and proves true the arguments of the Catholic religion. For many years, he worked in the conversion of the heretics, and it's reported that he converted more than 70,000 Protestants to the Catholic faith. His role in fighting the Protestant heresy is a very important mark of St. Francis de Sales. It was one of the missions that Providence had entrusted to him. But at that time, there were also challenges rising from inside the church. A certain bishop named Jansenius was spreading strange teachings concerning many aspects of the faith. It is what we call the intellectual Jansenism, which are the things that he taught against the faith. But besides this intellectual aspect of Jansenism, there was something which was much more spread, and it was the morality of Jansenism. The Jansenists were very strict, very mortified people. But it was not because of this that they were in error. For example, the Jansenists from the monastery of Port Royal were simply following the rule of the Cistercians. So the strict aspect of it was not exactly the problem. But the problem was that the Jansenists had forgotten that penance is not an end in itself. The problem was that they had forgotten the true end of all good works. They had confused the means with the end. And in this confusion, they had forgotten the greatest of all virtues, that virtue which has to be the goal of all we do, charity. And charity is, above all, love for God. Charity is, above all, love for God. Charity is this intention that we have to direct our actions towards God. And St. Francis de Sales then was familiar with the monastery of Port Royal. He was, for a time, the spiritual director of Mother Angelique, the superior of the monastery. So he knew well the dangers of Jansenism, and it was for the extirpation of this false spirituality that he fought during the rest of his life. Yet he didn't fight Jansenism by talking all the time about it. But he fought this battle by bringing charity back to the center of spiritual life. Everything else, all the other virtues, should surround charity, but never try to take its place. Charity is like the sun, while the other virtues are like the planets. They are important, yes, but they are not at the center. The motivation of our lives should always be the love of God. And if we mortify ourselves, or if we do any good work, it has to be with this end, to love God more. And this was the great role that Providence assigned to our dear St. Francis de Sales in the history of the Church, to be the doctor of charity, the doctor of divine love, teaching us that the charity is the true essence of holiness. Holiness is not in the amount of food or drink that we take, but in the degree of love we have for God. Of course, it does not mean that gluttony is not a sin, but it means that mortification or any other good work is not what constitutes holiness in itself. But the essence of holiness is love for God, is charity. So even though holiness is multiple, because it is manifested exteriorly in different ways, yet holiness is one, because it is the same for all the saints. Charity, love for God. And all the other virtues are there to help us to keep and to increase the love of God in us. So this is the great teaching of St. Francis de Sales, the center place that the love of God has to occupy in our lives. In this way, my brethren, let us learn from Him and have the love of God always in front of our eyes as the goal, as the end of all we do. Let us try to accomplish well the duties that our state in life requires from us. But let's do it for the love of God, as an offering to God. And in this way we will be giving glory to God. In this way we will be sanctifying our soul. And we will be also mysteriously working for the salvation of the whole world. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.